I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Hi everyone, it's Janet here. Just wanted to give you all a little bit of a heads up that the audio in this recording is going to be a little bit off, specifically my mic. So I had a little bit of an emergency and needed to travel during the stay that we had planned to record, but we still really wanted to get this out to you guys. So I ended up recording from a different location than Helen and Mel, and that's why my mic sounds a little bit off. So thanks so much for hanging in with us, and I hope that you enjoy. Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. I'm Janet.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Mel.
Insecurities. From the outside, it can seem like the three of us are fairly put together, but I can rest assure you that we are not. Talking about our failures and our insecurities on this podcast is hard for us sometimes, but we know that when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, we can connect and find comfort in knowing that we're not alone in our insecurities. So we did a little Googling, and here are nine common causes of insecurities. One, comparing yourself to others. Two, appearances and imperfections, whether it's external or internal. Three, acceptance by others, like fitting in other people's opinions. Four, feeling unloved or unwanted, a sense of loneliness. Five, not measuring up to the standards of others, whether it's driven by culture or society, media. Six, fear. Seven, failure. Fear of failure or previous failures, making bad decisions, rejection. Eight, a tragic incident or circumstances like death, abuse, infidelity, something related to past trauma. Nine, basing self-worth on external factors such as job, gifts or talents, your spouse, children, appearance, material possessions. So let's open it up for discussion, ladies. Despite all of your accomplishments, do you find yourself feeling filled with self-doubt and short on confidence? What's something you can't, fix with like a cream?
So I can't buy the cream to fix my problems on
There's no
like
insecurity cream out there.
Nah. I guess I can start. It's actually really interesting we're talking about this topic today because I actually been feeling really insecure lately. I think you ladies can probably sense that. I was talking to you guys about this and I like broke down in tears the other day. But I think for me, like I'm realizing that I've been feeling really like low because honestly, dating nowadays is really difficult. I'll talk about why this affects my insecurity. But like, I think now we're in a new era of casual dating. I think knowing the fact that the guys that you're interested in are dating other women can really fuck me up a little bit,
It's like the casual dating culture nowadays, right?
Yeah, because like they're dating other people. And like sometimes maybe you might know the other person they're dating or the girls they dated before you due to like mutual friends and stuff. And so like, I think naturally I just start comparing myself to like, oh, that's the girl you dated before. That's your ex-girlfriend or whatever. And then for me, when I tend to compare, I always compare my physical looks, and that's something I'm trying to figure out right now because I do realize I seek validation through men and others for my looks. These actually hit a lot of the different causes of insecurities, like comparing yourself to others, appearances, like acceptance. So like, I guess I could kind of talk through like why I feel so insecure with my looks. I think that I mentioned in a previous podcast, when the guys are dated, like I've always been really complimented on my personality, never about my looks. And looking back from even high school, I've always been the girl within my girlfriends that never got chased by men. That my one friend was always, oh, that's Vicky, she's a hot one. And there's Mel. Like, I'm the nice one, I'm the friend, like that was always the category I had growing up. And so in some weird way, I think I overcompensated that, I guess, insecurity by building up my personality, building up my extracurricular activity, because I feel like in hopes that, because I'm not pretty enough, you might like me enough with all these accomplishments I'm doing. And I feel like even looking at myself today, that is what I'm still doing, you know, like trying to get that dream job, chasing my passion and being that driven, ambitious person. Cause like, hey, if you see all these good qualities, you'll know, you ignore the fact that I'm not the hottest one in my group. Sorry, my girlfriends are hotter than me. It is what it is. And it's a weird feeling because, you know, like being an aware person, you know, that's not something you should fixate on because like it's all not all about physical appearance and that's something we always endorse, but like you can't help but feel that way, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it places too much weight of how I feel or my self-image on, I guess, men sometimes. But yeah, I think in terms of like with guys, I think that my past relationships, the guys always end up walking out on me. Because I had someone say to me, he's the one that said, you have the perfect personality. And then when we were breaking up, he said, you're not what I thought you were. Mm. And so when I hear that, I'm like, oh, okay, this aspect of my being, my personality is something that you love. When I'm not who you thought you were, your rose-colored glasses came off. You saw me for who I actually am, my look. If it's not internal, it's external. I think another thing, too, is that a thing I'm realizing with myself is that since I don't consider my physical appearance like a 10 out of 10, I tend to chase men who I view as 10 out of 10. And what happens is I put these guys on a pedestal. You shouldn't be doing this. And I do because in hopes that if I could land that hot guy, that means I'm hot. Mm. That means I'm validating myself through that action. Mm. And so I think when things don't work out, whether it's casual or it's serious, them leaving, it's for me, the statement is, oh, I'm not hot enough still. I'm not enough. And it's just like a weird thing that I'm going through right now. It's just like, it's a weird feeling because the thing I'm battling also right now is like, I am confident enough. I am proud of myself for all my accomplishments and everything. But on the flip side, I still feel insecure about this. So just like, then I feel like kind of like an imposter within my own mind, within myself. Even at Off the Mic event, like I am so proud of like these activities, these community events. I'm really proud to be a part of and represent. But same time, am I not deserving of this? Because I don't exude this perfect person.
So this is a separate insecurity then just from your looks?
Yeah, I think it's like separate, but it's also, no, it's kind of encompassing because I feel like we come off like really proud Asian American women. I think we are. Like the part of me is proud to be who I am. Mm-hmm. But the flip side is I still don't feel confident enough. So it's like, what am I then?
Wait, so you feel like you need to be more confident than you're feeling or yeah. Like you're not confident enough?
Kind of. It's like, you know what it is? I think it's like you're labeling yourself as a confident woman, but a confident woman wouldn't be insecure about their looks. It's kind of like that thing. Mm. And then you feel bad about having this insecurity. You're like, wait, yeah, okay. Why did I think this way?
Yeah, I can actually relate to that a lot. I think when it comes to body image, yeah. You know, I didn't really have a sense of like feeling bad about my body when I was growing up. Like even in high school and in college, a lot of my girlfriends would be like, oh my gosh, I'm gaining weight or things like that. Yeah. And I never really like cared or had that awareness. But then, you know, after college, like I did have a period where I like gained a little bit of weight. And I remember feeling like, you know, starting to feel that insecurity and actually then feeling insecure about the fact that I was feeling insecure. Yeah. So it was kind of like judging myself for feeling that. And that just intensified it. So I know what you mean with that kind of like a little bit of that like mind fuck that goes on.
Oh, totally.
I think body image is something that I think everyone goes through, right? Even yeah. like models and the most beautiful people out there, I think mm-hmm. they're always very like self-conscious about their looks and their appearance. Mm-hmm. In high school, it's like a superlative. Mm-hmm. So I was voted prettiest in high school. I remember that day we were in Washington, D.C. for a field trip and like everyone started looking at me and like analyzing me. They were like, oh, who's that? Who's this girl? Especially like all the people that I just didn't hang out with. They were like pointing at me like, oh, that's her over there. Mm-hmm. And I could tell that there was like a really look, yeah. you know, that they gave me. And it was like one of the most embarrassing days. I just wanted to like hide under a rock or behind a tree or something. But I think that also messed with my own perception of myself that, you know, there was this like identity that I had to like fulfill. And if I didn't, then I would almost not be who people identified me as.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Because I think when you get voted like most attractive, it's like, it's kind of like a high value statement. So in a sense, like and through their eyes, they're valuing for that statement. But so when you feel like you're losing yourself or maybe let's say, this sounds really weird. Maybe like you gained weight or you got a really bad haircut. Mm-hmm. That attractiveness goes down. You're probably thinking like, oh shit, like they don't value me as high anymore.
Right. Or like that's where my worth was, right? Mm. To these people who saw me as strangers. So that became like that my worth too.
Yeah.
And I feel like throughout high school, I was always like very active and you know, that feeling like I had to like look active and look like pretty. Like I think about this stuff like a lot too, you know. Mm-hmm. That's like at the top of my mind, and that's for sure like an insecurity of mine.
Yeah.
So I think everyone kind of goes through it in, you know, different ways.
Oh yeah, body image is a huge thing.
Yeah,
body is a physical thing you see.
Mm-hmm.
Like I compare myself to you two all the time because you guys are more fit than me, like physically, you know. Part of me is like, damn it, I wish I just enjoyed fitness more so I could look like you guys.
But I think there's also like, from what I see from you, is that I wish I could be as like like when you say I don't have that much confidence, I'm like, Mel has like all the confidence in the world. That I, you know, that's something that I'm insecure about, because even with this podcast and like emoting, I'm not good at emoting, but you do a really, really good job of compartmentalizing or summarizing your feelings and being able to translate it to people to vocalize it. And that's something that I realize that I struggle a lot with. Mm-hmm. So when you do have a lot of confidence, and so I see that and I'm like, oh, I want that too. And it's not physical, right? Mm-hmm. You can't see it, but it's a thing. It's more of an intangible that I view too.
Yeah, but even with our body, like I remember there was a statement that you made. There was this time where like we all were about to go out and we got into the elevator together. You were just talking about kind of like girls and how they dress up and stuff and to go out. And you were like, yeah, you know, my boyfriend actually likes curves. Mm. And I remember I was like, wow, Mel really like owns that. You know, so you really have a sense of confidence in your body. But I think it's important to note that at the end of the day, even though we are secure about certain aspects of us that maybe the outside world would view as insecurities, we're still going to have times where we doubt or we don't feel that confident in something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like for sure. When you have your lashes on. And,
I know.
I mean, I think when you also mentioned like you take a lot of validation from men, but like your girlfriends are always like, dang, this glow up. Like, look at you, Mel. You know, like, do you not put as much value in us?
No, I... well, I... You know what it is? Maybe I take it for granted. Like, maybe that's what it is. Mm. And like... I don't know. I know what it is too. It's just maybe because like I'm very fortunate to have like amazing, amazing women in my life that can call my friends. The flip side is I look at you two, I'm like, yeah, you guys validate me. I feel like you guys also validate by being friends with me. The whole cheerleader effect is so true. I'm like, yeah, just being around like Helen and Janet, like they'll think I'm hot too. That's what it is. You know, it's like a weird thing.
Well, I feel that way when we're out socially and you have such this like bubbly personality and you're just so easily swimming through the room, just talking to all these people. And I'm like, so I have the cheerleader effect also with like your personality.
I feel that way too.
You know what it is? Like, I think everyone goes through this. It's just like you only see it through your perspective and you just zone in on that insecurity. And then everyone else is like, no, I don't see it like that.
I mean, I think that is literally what an insecurity is. It becomes manifested in your own head. And especially when you don't vocalize it, it becomes a bigger like demon or monster that kind of takes over just your whole perception of who you are and how other people view you, right?
Yeah.
But it could be like complete like opposite and they don't see you like that at all.
Yeah. Well, what other insecurities do you guys also feel besides like, you know, like body image?
Well, actually, one of my biggest insecurities is competence. And I think this kind of ties back to a little bit of like our culture and our upbringing. We're taught to really value like academic achievement, right? And really being able to like do well in school and things like that. And I remember growing up like in elementary school, our school had this like gifted and talented program. So they would give these tests to all these kids. And then if you tested high, they would put you in these advanced courses. Well, my sister, who's younger than me, tested into these classes and I didn't. And I remember like, even though my parents make a big deal out of it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't scolded for it. They were very kind of like supportive just in me doing whatever I was doing in my classes. I still kind of developed this chip on my shoulder that I wasn't as competent and I wasn't as knowledgeable. And I think from there that stemmed through even into then my work, right? And as someone who has transitioned so much in my career, I'm constantly being kind of a new person in a role and feeling like, oh my God, do I know all the things? Am I coming off competent? Do I know what I'm talking about? Am I carrying my weight? And so that's definitely insecurity that I still deal with now, and that bleeds into my current life.
So we have this episode called Imposter Syndrome.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of speaks to that. Absolutely, where you just don't feel like you deserve to be where you are. I feel that way all the time too with like this podcast. I mean, like one of my fears is like public speaking, right? And I mentioned that at the off the mic event where I say like some people are born with like eyes they don't like. I'm born with this like quiver in my throat.
Your vibrato.
My vibrato. That's what you said at the event. You're like, your vibrato's like, coming out.
I was like, vibrato? I was like, girl, wrong conversation.
You know, we said vibrato. I think it's vibrato, right? I don't know.
Whatever.
Anyway, but yeah, so like, I think something that I have noticed with myself is like I am not good at sort of like summarizing, translating my feelings across in a very simple manner. Mm-hmm. And when you're podcasting, you're talking about your feelings and experiences and having to dig back into like childhood. And I'm just like, my memory's not that good. I don't know. So a part of me also feels like with this podcast, like, am I carrying my weight? Am I contributing enough and showing up as my best self that I could be? And I don't feel like I am most of the time.
You are.
Yeah. Helen is responsible for this outline. fine.
I think that's one of the things too, right? Like my insecurities stem from like perfectionism. Mm. Absolutely. Like I've been going to therapy recently and just like, I don't know, there's a lot of things that I am insecure about. And so talking to the therapist, she was like, I think you want everything to always be like perfect. And
oh, sorry, I didn't know you started therapy.
I did.
Isn't that amazing?
I did, yes. Last week? Yeah. So it's been good, and it helps to sort of like identify these things. And like when I'm sitting on the couch, I'm just like, I don't know. I can't talk about my feelings. And then, you know, they just kind of force you to. But yeah, so I think like even the speaking in public thing, I fear that I'm going to say something dumb, or I'm just going to black out and not know what to say next. Like what's the next words coming out of my mouth, or that people will just, I'll mess up a word or something and they'll be like, oh, she's dumb, you know?
Oh my gosh.
That's something I think contributes to that quiver, because then when you're short of breath, I think that's when your throat like tightens up a little bit. And then you're just like, ugh.
I guess, you know, it's weird. Like, I know everyone goes to insecurities, and I think we talk about like what we're afraid of with the podcast. And I knew you were nervous for the speaking event, but like, I think it's the first time I'm actually hearing it, and it's actually like processing my mind. Because when I look at you two, I'm like, you guys got this shit covered. And, like, on the podcast, when you guys are speaking, I'm always in awe. Like, we already know, like, Janet, this girl, like, has a voice of a goddess. And the way you're able to, like, wrap everything up, that's why I always throw you all the hard intros, all the other things for guests.
That's funny, because I get really insecure, I guess, like, when we talk about kind of, like, the thing that you're well, that you're known for, or, like, is a strength, can sometimes become an insecurity. I feel like because people tell me that I speak well, I put a lot of pressure on that. And so even in public speaking events, like, you know, at the recent like off the mic event, I really did blank out. I lost my train of thought, and like Mel and Minji were helping me kind of like tell my story. When I hit a point in my insecurity, I kind of just like, I freeze, and I'm a freezer, and I just kind of like blank out.
But then it's funny, because like from my perspective sitting in the audience for your panel, I didn't think of you being incompetent like at all during that
point
in time.
Yeah, me too.
It was more just like, oh, she got a crazy story and she can't keep track of her own story.
Yeah.
Like it just added to, I think, what you
the
were
personality,
actually saying.
Yeah.
But yes, the other thing about focusing on my insecurity of confidence, I feel like when I was telling my story, people might be like, oh my God, this girl's like jumping all over the place. She doesn't know what she's doing. So maybe more than like the public speaking thing and that being the insecurity, it was more being able to tell my story concisely and having it make sense and feel like I'm like thinking clearly and logically. So it makes me feel like, you know, some can see that, oh my God, this girl like doesn't know what she's doing.
It's, oh, sorry, it just blows my mind. Not only blows my mind, but like it shows that we're so caught up in our own like vision or perception of who our insecurities are. I didn't notice about you too, because like I'm also like you, like what Helen said, like I'm watching from afar. I'm like, when you guys say things, I'm always like, wow, how did they word that so well? Like when I'm saying things, I'm like stuttering, I have a lisp, and like I literally lose my train of thought and I'm blacking out as I'm talking. You know what I mean?
Like I was actually gonna say, Mel, specifically at like the off the mic event, when we started going up there, and I remember I started feeling like really anxious, and you just started so easily.
Yeah.
And I think it's like you just have this really great natural ability to kind of feel what you're feeling and then be able to say it so freely without filter.
Yes.
I think like that's something kind of different, like Helen, myself, or maybe people that we tend to kind of sit and think and we want to filter more because we have that fear of not being able to articulate it the right way or whatnot. So it's interesting that for you, the thing that's an insecurity, speaking so freely and openly, it's actually very much a strength.
Yeah, no, for sure. It absolutely is. And I hope you Mel's looking so confused right now.
What?
Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like, yeah, it's all in our own head. We're literally the only ones curating our own insecurities is what we're hearing. This is like a therapy session.
No, actually, it feels like it feels very therapeutic. I want to see if Helen feels this way too. But when Jane, you're talking about like you put a lot of self-worth in your work because you want to feel competent. I feel like that's something a lot of our listeners can relate to, especially in our career. Like for me, man, I don't feel very settled at my company right now. Even though I love my job and I like what I'm doing, I feel so much pressure to live up to this title of leadership because I'm part of leadership now, right? And I have this head of community role. Knowing the fact that you're a work in progress, which is like, it's like a good thing because you should enjoy the process, enjoy the journey, all this like woo-woo shit, right? But then the reality is when you're going through it, you feel like crap. Like I only feel settled when I master my role or my title, which is something we talked about, imposter syndrome, right? Feeling wanting to be the expert of everything. And the thing is, now that I have an intern that goes to me for, Mel, is this what you want? Is this what we should do moving forward? I have to make that decision. And I'm like, what the I don't know. Yeah. Like, and then I feel insecure, like, oh crap, am I not being a good leader? Like, am I not meant for this role? Should I step down? Like, I don't know. Like, and I had a moment like that at work where I literally was crying because I felt like I wasn't doing my part of leadership. And there are times when they're talking, I get so confused. I think people see me And like people message me on LinkedIn, it's like, oh my gosh, Mel, I want to learn about all this media stuff and how you got here. And I'm just like, girl, I don't fucking know what I'm doing. Like, yeah. I still don't know. You know when you like you see people when you're younger and you're like networking, trying to get into a job, and they seem so like put together. They're the account manager, like some kind of management role. And you always think like, yeah, that girl got it. Mm-hmm. But now when you're here in this role, you're like, I don't got it. Right? Yeah. I think Helen also like, you know, working in this role, like you work so hard to get to where you're at.
It's when you first start off in a new role that mm-hmm. you question yourself, and even like just getting your handle on like the administrative things and yeah. like all the processes and all of that takes a while to build up. Since I've been at my job for like 9 years now, I think I felt that way a lot when I first started. And then maybe when I became like a manager, I felt like I had more control over it, because my first couple of years, I spent a lot of time just making sure I understood like everything mm-hmm. so that I wouldn't feel dumb. And when people ask me like, oh, what's one advice you would give to someone who's like entry level? I would say just get really fucking good at what you're doing, because then no one can ever question you mm. and make you feel like you're not smart enough. There are still many times when I'm in a meeting and someone just like comes off more confident, and when they say like, oh, this is the right answer, this is the right way to do it, I'll be like, yeah, I think so too, you know, like yeah. So I question myself, and I don't have a lot of confidence if I'm like kind of wavering. I'll just be like, okay, I think you know what you're doing, and so let's try that. And usually it's wrong, and it's like, oh, I should have just like gone with my gut and like tried to go with what my initial thoughts were and try to build that out, or have more confidence in my initial thought, you know. So that's something that I definitely struggle with and want to work through more too. But it's like, yeah, feeling like you're not smart enough, that's something that was difficult for me, especially in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, I just started a new job like 6 to 8 months ago, and you ladies have seen me go through the horrible experience. I mean, I was on a really tough project, and I would say that still remains to this day the most challenging experience I have ever had at work. I mean, I cried like 3 times throughout the project. I had multiple personal conversations with many of the leads on my team, but it was just the most extreme experience of feeling just really incompetent.
It makes sense, because I think one thing you always said to us coming back, like honestly, Jana's been going through like a hell month.
I think maybe to give some context, so I've been in this career of user experience design for about 4 to 5 years, and it's actually a fairly newish field. The tech field has been changing so quickly in the last couple of years that the position and the title and the how it's practiced is so different everywhere. And so I kind of came into the situation where at my very last job, I was promoted very quickly. Mm-hmm. And then now I'm swinging into this new role, and it's actually a different type of company. It's an agency where they have clients versus working in-house. And the way they practice is also really different. So I basically stepped into a role and situation where like the level that they placed me at and the specific way they practice that role does not really match where I was coming from. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I had experiences where you're like presenting in front of people and you can see on their face, you're just like falling flat. You're like not at all doing the right thing. And then, you know, having conversations with people where they're like, do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm like,
usually it's no.
You know, so really just like having those like feelings of the extreme of like truly feeling incompetent and like you're failing and that you're like failing your team too. And then it bled into like, I started feeling like, oh my God, I suck at everything, you know, and even the things that generally are my strengths in projects where like it's presenting or, you know, being able to like interview people, I would start getting that like quiver in my voice where I was really like questioning myself and everything.
But I think what you've also learned from that is that the system that was set up for you was not done well, because they said that they hired a lot of other people in a similar role as you, and then they also left because they were like, okay, I don't feel like I'm competent enough and I don't feel like I'm doing enough.
So that was helpful, you know, like knowing that I wasn't alone, that right. other people were having similar experiences of coming in and not being able to perform at the right level. Yeah. But still, when I was going through the experience, it still felt really, really shitty, right? And now that I have had some time away from it, I kind of, in hindsight, realize that I was internalizing that a lot.
Yeah.
And kind of like it was hyperinflated in my mind. And I think that that's actually something as Asian American people, like I feel like we're kind of taught to really focus so much on our academic performance, which then translates when we get older into our job performance. Mm-hmm. And we feel like just because we're not doing well at work, that it means that we're not doing well in life and that we tie our personal self-value to that. So I think for me, that was more of a lesson going forward in really learning to separate like my job from my identity. Like what I do is not who I am.
Yeah. I think you mentioned a really interesting thing about like our cultural upbringing really affects how you view yourself, because I do think growing up, I see a lot of my accomplishment from my mom. Like, you want to get A's and all these things. That was the expectation. Like, I'm going to succeed and exceed your expectations. And so I think that's why with even my job, I'm seeking this approval from someone higher than me, someone like whatever, to make sure I'm good. You know, yeah. Like, as to my boss, I would say like, hey, is this right? And he's like, Mel, I want you to find the answers for yourself. Like, don't ask me. And like, he always says, answer first. Let me know your answer before you ask me, because I want to see that you could think for yourself this way. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's a really good advice. Because then I wonder, like, when I seek validation in terms of like physical beauty or finding a partner and I seek it from someone else I deem as higher, is that related to because I used to do that with my mom, with my family, you know?
Yeah, maybe because within our culture, we're taught to really look for validation from authority.
It makes sense, because if you think, we think about it, like, when we talk about being in the career, being in your workforce, it's like, you don't want to ruffle any feathers, cause you don't want to cause any disturbance. You want to please the authority, right? Yeah. And so I think that's why we kind of deal with this. It's sprinkled throughout other aspects of our life, maybe.
I just thought of something really random.
What's up?
The whole feeling, like, I always questioning myself whenever I do something wrong. I just thought of when Tyler was visiting my nephew, he just turned 2.
Yeah.
But we went to the aquarium and we saw these fish in a tank. And I saw a sign that said, piranhas. And it's like, oh, Tyler, these are piranhas. And then this little 5-year-old came by and he was like, no, it's not. And I was like, it's not? I was really questioning myself, because I was like, oh, maybe that's like for the other tank, and oh no, I taught Tyler something wrong. And then I looked at it, I was like, that's a fucking piranha. Like, what the fuck?
A 5-year-old confidence made you question your own decision.
So then I told the kid, I was like, that's a piranha. There's a sign right there that says it. And he was like, I think, oh, okay. And then I was like, yeah, dick.
I wonder, maybe something happened when you were younger in school, like where you said something and maybe people made you feel like you were wrong, like there was like embarrassment or something.
I mean, I can't identify a time, but absolutely, probably, right?
Yeah, I would say I have a familiar feeling, like I feel like when something wrong happens, I automatically think that it's that I'm wrong versus someone else being wrong.
Yes.
Dude,
yes.
Same thing.
Yeah, so I wonder if maybe something happened when you're younger, maybe like when we went to school and there was like a language thing and someone made fun of you.
And then that translates to like work, right? When I'm like semi-confident about something and then someone else says like, oh, it should be this way. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, let's go with your way, because I don't think I don't want to put all my eggs into my basket of what I think is correct, because it probably isn't. But then it turns out, like, usually it kind of is.
That's something I'm working on too. I've developed more of like a voice at my company. It's also because, like, I think we could talk about this later, but like, I'm encouraged to fail a lot.
Yeah.
That's so good. If I'm wrong, fuck, let me be wrong. Let me fail and I'll own up to it, versus like, wait, like, but am I wrong? Like, you know, I want to stop questioning myself, which is really hard.
Men do such a good job at that. All you ABBs out there. All you
goddamn
bees.
Because I guess, because it's like society teaches them that.
That's true. Yeah.
And maybe especially within Asian culture too, I feel like there's like this like elevation of men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually talking to one of my best guy friends about it. He's super confident. You know him. I was on the phone. I went to that like moment of insecurity with you guys and I like was crying and I called him. I was like, you know what I noticed? You've never had a moment like that and you never shared it with me. Like, why are you ever, like, are you insecure? He's like, yeah, I mean, I have moments of it, but I don't like verbalize, I internalize and I work through it privately. But I got to a point where I'm so confident in my creative ability and my work that I don't feel insecure as much anymore.
Wow.
I was like, oh shit. Like,
we should have an episode where we bring on a couple of like ABBs to talk about like their actual insecurities.
Oh yeah.
That would be really interesting.
I could be incorrect. There's different types of men. Like, my brother is like more introverted and he exudes things differently, but like the confident like men that are exteriorly confident, they show their insecurities differently than us. I think for us, we kind of shut down and like we want to go and journal or cry in a corner. But I think some of the like our guy friends, when they're insecure, they overcompensate by even coming off even more like, like egotistical or whatever. And I'm just like, that's really interesting how you do that instead. We don't do that.
Mm, like our reactions are the opposite. Like they feel the need to like flail their chest more.
Kind of.
We feel like the need to like kind of like, or we just automatically react by shrinking.
I think another thing that I struggle with is I don't retain information well, especially when it comes to like pop culture. So that's something that I've been pretty insecure about. It's like, when people are talking about like movie references or whatever, it's like, I don't have anything to fucking add to this conversation. So I just sit there in silence and I'm just like, ugh, like I wish I knew. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that is an insecurity of mine, because it's like, I don't know, I just don't want to open my mouth and like talk about it if I don't know, I don't have anything to contribute. So I felt that way actually about like politics. I would say like 2 years ago, I felt like I was in the bubble. Like I was so focused on just my work and doing a good job at my work that nothing in the outside world really affected me, and I like knew nothing about politics or anything about the world, didn't read the news or anything like that. And then I think when I felt so insecure about it, I was like, okay, what can you do to actually just learn a little bit to be in touch with like what's going on around you? And now I find news and everything like incredibly fascinating, and politics. Before, I used to like shy away from it because I was like, oh, I don't know, and I don't want to like show that I'm like getting into it, because then people are going to see me getting into it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so then maybe it's like, maybe if they have an expectation and then you don't want to fail or not meet their expectation.
Yeah, yeah. Like if they were to see and like start asking me questions about it, like, I don't know, I just started to scratch the surface, like go away, you know? I'm the type of person that wants to be like completely knowledgeable about something before I make a point or make a stance on something.
It's a competency thing. Yeah, for sure. It's your natural interest.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I'm like flipped with you in a sense. I'm like really aware of pop culture. I love celebrity gossip and news. I'm so insecure when it comes to politics. I don't know shit. I don't know what the fuck is going on right now. Everyone's like, you should know. You should care. And I'm just like, oh fuck, I should. Like, I should. The word should. I should care. Yeah. But I'm like,
but you want to, not you should.
Yeah. But then I'm kind of like, crap, I'm not doing my due diligence of like as a U.S. citizen to know what's going on in the world. Yeah. And to be honest, that has held me back in a lot of ways, because I never admitted this out loud, but I never voted before because I was so scared to. I always felt like my opinion really doesn't matter because I'm not educated enough on this. But I voted for the first time, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. It was empowering to know what was going on.
Yeah.
And I think that's something I got to get better at, like with the upcoming election. But yeah, I feel like I'm not educated enough.
Okay, we should talk.
So the thing about the insecurities of knowledge gap of like politics or even pop culture, the thing I did notice that I liked about what Helen mentioned is that when she found that she had a gap in something, she decided to like look for ways to fill that gap, right? So it was like listening to different podcasts. So maybe that's like a lesson in when you have like a gap in knowledge that is an insecurity, there are things you can do about it.
Before media kind of blew up, like YouTube and all of that, like it's hard to get news. Like it's so dry, you know, it's so like depressing hearing the news, reading it, watching it. So what I do now is listen to NPR Up First. Mm-hmm. It's like a 10-minute summary of all of the news that's going on, all the important news. And I do that while brushing my teeth. And then at nighttime, I usually turn on like Colbert or Trevor Noah, Jimmy Fallon. And then I watch that, and it's like it's done in just a much more like humored way, you know, so you still get your news, but in a funny way. But then, yeah, like pop culture, I was like in my bubble up until I think I moved to LA. Actually, LA kind of brings that out of you.
Well, I think you have to, because we're in the hub entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, she was like, oh, everyone's talking about this. Like, what the fuck? Wait, what is this?
No, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's absolutely one of my insecurities.
Native is a San Francisco-based personal care company that's made a name for itself by offering safe, effective body products at drugstore price points. We try their lavender and rose and coconut and vanilla deodorants, both of which smell super good, goes on smooth and clear, and doesn't leave residue.
Less is more with Native. Their products are aluminum, paraben, sulfate, and talc-free, and filled with ingredients found in nature, such as coconut oil, shea butter, and tapioca starch, which absorbs wetness. They never test on animals.
They have something for everyone. Native comes in a wide variety of scents for men and women. Their classic deodorant scents include coconut and vanilla, their most popular scent, lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and eucalyptus and mint. There's also unscented options if you have sensitive skin or simply prefer a fragrance-free deo. There's no risk to try. They offer free returns and exchanges in the USA. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code ABG during checkout. Again, that's 20% off your first purchase on nativedeodorant.com, promo code ABG during checkout.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most. And they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Is there anything else that you guys wanted to bring up that you didn't yet for insecurities?
So another one of my insecurities is maybe more like my quiet or introverted nature. And it kind of flip-flopped because when I was much younger, it was like a pretty big insecurity of being more reserved and quiet. And then I went through a period in like high school and college and even work where I really pushed myself to kind of like develop these extroverted or like practice extroverted qualities. So, you know, I forced myself into like leadership positions, into lots of public speaking, into lots of situations where I would have to network. And it was to the point then where I became really comfortable with those skills and they started to feel like strengths. And then, you know, I went through another period of my life where then I kind of went back into what was more my natural nature, which is just to be more reserved. And I kind of prefer to kind of have more solo time and be more introverted. And I guess I tell that story to kind of tie back to like what Helen was saying, that when you have an insecurity, one way to address it is, you know, she did it through a knowledge gap by studying up on things. And for me, it was a quality where I pushed myself to kind of practice and develop those other skills. That's like one way you can either skill up in terms of knowledge or in developing the skill set so that you can build confidence.
And that's definitely something that we've seen in you too, Janet, like in terms of like New York, our first meetup and seeing you like push yourself out there to talk to like 10 people at one time and hold a conversation amongst all of them and create dialogue. I mean, you're definitely doing that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So what's interesting is maybe because like I think it's like the group dynamic. So when I'm around more recently working with the two of you, because you guys tend to be more extroverted, I think my introversion kind of like intensified a little bit. You know, different working dynamics of like the team setting, right? So, but when I was in college, like I was the president of an organization for 2 years and I had to get up there and lead meetings constantly and stuff. Yeah. But then, you know, like different period in my life, you know, more comfortable with kind of like where you're not practicing that as much, maybe my natural state kind of takes over again.
But you think your introversion has intensified because of that?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, no, it's just kind of how like group dynamics work, right? Like just different group settings, different, you know, different sides of you come out.
I got it. Yeah.
But I also think in general, like I think I mentioned to you before, like I'm extremely extroverted. I was even more so in college.
Yeah.
Not anymore. I'm getting more introverted as I got older. And so even in large group settings, you saw me in SF. I was like, after like an hour talking, I was like, dude, I got to go hide in a room because I'm exhausted. But with you, you're like, I feel fine. And I was like, what? You feel fine? Why do I feel like this? I do think as you get older, you do become a little bit more introverted though, just naturally.
Yeah, yeah. I think what I'm trying to express or articulate is that like my introversion or quietness used to be an insecurity. And then I went through a phase where I really felt like I could own it and felt confident in it. Yeah. But then when there are periods where I might not be feeling as confident, then I start to kind of feel like that insecurity gets kind of like riled up again.
Isn't that crazy though? Like literally where you are mentally and other things can actually determine how insecure you are with other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And trickles into other stuff.
It's easy to feel less insecure when you don't like expose yourself to the world. Like, you know, if you just stay at home, hide under your blankets, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I feel less insecure now. But you can't do that all the time. So Janet, you already mentioned, you know, sort of doing the opposite of your insecurity of feeling like a little bit more quiet and reserved by pushing yourself out there and getting out there. What else do you ladies do to help with your self-esteem or to just help get over the insecurities you've mentioned?
Well, I think for me, because I'm actually going through it right now, I think talking to you guys really helped me. And I think you guys, it's just encouragement because like when I was going through all this stuff, even like with men or people in your life, the casual dating thing, you guys literally said to me, like, you don't know what their full story is. Like, you just know your perspective and perception of it. And like, they could be going through things that you don't know. It's not really you kind of mentality. And it's hard to sometimes process, but that's helping.
Or it's easy for you to just take the situation and say like, oh, it's because of my appearance, it's because of my looks, because that's been an insecurity that has been built up over time. But yeah, just hearing about the guys that you are with or have had a thing with, it's more like, I don't think they're ready. I think they could have like the hottest person in the world and they'd still be like, I'm not satisfied. It's just based on their like mental and where they are at this point in time.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's weird because like even like my ex-boyfriend, like now looking back, I'm like, yeah, we're not meant to be together. But it took me a long time to kind of process that. And there's still insecurities there too. But no, it's just it's understanding that component of it and not jumping to conclusions as to, oh, you didn't like me because I'm ugly or like I'm not as attractive. So just kind of like, in a weird way, humanizing them too.
Yeah.
Right? That's something that has helped me with that insecurity of physical looks and just my self-worth. But one thing, I also mentioned this at the Off the Mic event, but the one thing I always resort to when I'm going through like intense insecurities is just I journal. I'm always really softer to myself. I write to myself. I go, hi, Mel. And like, I want to remind you all these things.
Oh, I get like angry at myself.
I think it's
you
just,
suck.
I think for me, it's like my inner chatter in my mind is already so harsh. Yeah. When I'm writing on paper and I'm talking to myself, actually, I want to be softer too.
That's nice.
And, oh, that's a really, yeah, I guess I never thought about doing that. That's like, yeah, that's yeah. a great tool or way to journal. Yeah, they say that generally we tend to treat ourselves so negatively.
Yeah.
Like you should speak to yourself the way that you would speak to your best friend, right? Yeah. Versus kind of being harsh the way that your internal talk and your internal dialogue tends to be.
Yeah. And it's weird because I think in your head, it's like all internalized. When I'm actually putting it out in the world again, I want it to be positive. Mm-hmm. So I will share my insecurities, but I'll be like, you know what? And I always say, let's talk about the things you're actually proud of. What are things yeah. you actually love about yourself? Because I think you lose so much of self-love when you're questioning your self-worth through mm-hmm. a situation or whatever. So it's like you got to like regain the self-love back. Yeah. So I literally list down like A, B, and C. This is what I love about myself. And why do I love this about myself? And then I go back and it's like a little nice reminder.
Yeah.
I think another, like you said, like talking to your best friend. I always think about, I would have a daughter. How would I want to speak to her to make sure she's loved and taken care of? Mm-hmm. And that's how I want to treat myself too. So definitely journaling, meditating. I always go back to these like two things. Like I've been meditating again because I stopped. And so it's been helping me like center myself, because when you end a meditation, the one I do with Headspace, there's two things that he always says. One, take satisfaction in the fact that you like shelled out 5 minutes just for you. You know, you're giving something back to yourself. And two, one thing I always took away is that with all these insecurities, they're inner chatter, right? And so he says, a thought only becomes a thought when you think about it too much. So just saying that, you know, the reason why your insecurities are, you know, becoming larger than what it is, because you're actually thinking about it more. So why don't you just note it? Hey, I'm feeling insecure. Comment. I note it. Let me brush it aside and I'll move on with my day. Mm-hmm. Because the more you're like, oh, shit, this is insecurity. You're like spending more time in that thought. It becomes worse and you spiral out.
Yeah.
And so even when I was going through my breakup, that helped me so much, because you're like, oh, shit, I want to stalk this guy. No, I shouldn't do that. So you're like, oh, note it. I kind of want to stalk. No, I'll do something else that's worth my time and distract myself in a weird way. And slowly as the time progresses, you don't think about it anymore.
Yeah. I thought you were, instead of journaling and meditating, that you were going to say, like, I got my hair done, I put my lashes on, I put my heels on, and I
actually
naked.
Funny you say that. This is actually another thing I should mention how I coped my breakup. Yeah, I don't think I'm sexy. I don't think I'm hot, but I will. My roommate could attest to this. She's like, what the fuck is going on in your room? I close my door, I lock it. I put on like my sexiest heels, my sexiest dress, and I blast like sexy music, Beyonce or like some hot K-pop music, and I dance. From the mirror, I'm like, yeah, girl, you hot shit. Mm-hmm. And I think for some reason, that just brings it out. Like it's like a fierceness that comes out.
That's empowering.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I could be that person.
Yeah.
So that's another thing I do. Good reminder there, Helen. So how'd you know? How about you guys?
For me, I have a handful of like really close girlfriends with whom, you know, when I'm going through hard times, just like I will do for them, I'll get on the phone with them and just have like a pretty quick chat. And these are people who I know me very well and know my strengths and will be able to kind of just cut through and tell me the things that are core to who I am and not based on any type of external whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's something that really helps and is really centering when you can have those people kind of remind you.
Yeah, I agree. I think just surrounding yourself with like powerful, supportive women that you trust and that you can share your insecurities with. So yeah, like you said, so that they can show you that might be a one-sided thought, but that there is so much more to you that you should be feeling confident and really secure about too. That's really important, because otherwise you just internalize it, like you keep saying, right?
I completely agree with what you're both saying. I feel like I find myself feeling really lucky to have you too, because I think when we're both, I think all three of us share insecurities with each other, but I never feel like, oh, she's just saying that to say that. Like, it never feels like a blank statement when you guys are giving back advice to me, and I feel like it's really thoughtful and very like real advice you guys are giving. And yeah, I want to share this really quick story, but when I was going through like a really moment of insecurity, I always remember this, and I thank you so much for it. Like when I was crying, when I was going through that, like, oh my God, here we go again.
Oh God.
No, I'm not going to cry this time, but I did get a little emotional. But like just having Helen hold my hand and then having Janet rub my leg, she's like, it's okay. Like those little gestures, like they really mean a lot. And yeah, I think all of us go through like insecure moments, but just know that your girlfriends who really got you, like, just that little thing can go really far.
Oh,
Mel, stop.
I don't know what the fuck.
I know, yeah. Like, you know, the last 6 months have been really hard for me. And you two ladies, just like having these types of conversations, like it really does help a lot.
I don't like to emote. Stop.
I stopped crying. See, the tears are not falling
Your
down
face
my face.
It's like a tomato.
Bitch.
The first tears of season 5.
Why? You know, it's funny. This always happens. I'm just like, it's not going to happen. And it fucking happens. But yeah, I think
that was a sweet moment, though. Yeah. Thank you, Mel.
For yeah, sure. No, especially when you're feeling like shit.
Another valuable aspect of talking with your girlfriends is that they offer you perspective, right? Yeah. Like, for example, at the off the bike thing, I felt like in my head, I was like, oh my God, I totally messed up. And
yeah.
Everyone saw that I kind of like totally forgot my train of thought and everything. And then when you guys were able to tell me like, no, it was just a small blip. And then you kind of continued. It made me readjust my perception of reality and be like, okay, maybe I was like overreacting.
Sorry, I don't want to get all mushy. Everyone on the podcast is like, wow, these fucking girls. But I do think even like, before every event, I love the fact that we could literally go huddle in a bathroom and like kind of like affirm each other. Like, I know we're all scared, we're all nervous for this. This doesn't come naturally to us.
Yeah.
But know that in the end, we have each other.
Yeah.
To support. And if we fuck up, we fuck up. And I think what's really helpful is that I always feel really confident on stage with you guys, because even though I might forget my story for a moment, you guys know my story and you guys like come back in.
Yeah. Or we help each other out.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's actually a big thing. Like, that's one of our collective insecurities, right? It's just speaking. And that's because we have, you know, we're like modern day working women, right? We work 9-to-5 plus jobs. Yeah. We sit in cubicles and we don't interact too much with too many people. Mm-hmm. So then when we're asked to like speak in front of and actually have to like give advice, it's like a really scary thing to do. So yeah, we huddle in a bathroom beforehand and we put our arms around each other and then we like rock back and forth. we got this
like literally we were doing that and off the mic and there's someone in the fucking stall.
It's happened a couple of times. So if you come to one of our meetups, we'll be in the bathroom.
But I think it just shows that, you know, like at the end of the day, we're all human.
Yeah, we're all human.
And we're all dealing with something and trying to figure out how to like go, you know, like tackle it. Actually, that's one thing I wanted to mention is that when we talk about insecurities and how we deal with it, like I think that another thing I would say is two things. One, be confident and know that this is something that everyone goes through and like take comfort in that. But at the same time, second thing is don't brush over these insecurities. They're there for a reason. And I know it's easy for us to distract ourselves and try to like kind of brush under the rug. But I think one thing I feel like I benefit is to look at my insecurity and actually find ways to take action to understand why I have these insecurities. You know, maybe it's rooted for something from childhood. Maybe it's something that's currently going on. But I think the better you understand yourself and know how to cope with it, you might know how to deal with it better when it comes up again, you know?
I mean, what during our off the mic event, when we had the breakout groups, right? Like just asking the question of, and not to say like insecurities, mental health, but it kind of is all within sort of like a similar category. But I asked a question of like how many people think that they're going through mental health like issues, and like 90% of the people raise their hand. And then you ask them like how many people are actually going through treatment for it. And like 90% of those hands literally just like dropped, because like, it's such a taboo topic. People, especially in the Asian culture, they don't want to talk about their insecurities. I feel like people just don't want to share that because it shows weakness is what we've been taught.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like you're saying, Mel, instead of shoving it under the rug and pretending like everything is okay, digging into your insecurity, kind of like highlighting it, talking about it, going to get help for it, right? And I feel like going to a therapist, it's not like you're crazy. It's that everyone goes through things and they can help highlight and look at things very objectively. Like,
oh,
like this part of your story seems to be very important in your life and you just brush that under the rug. But maybe focus on that. And is that something that is like a driver of this insecurity that you have? Mm-hmm. Once you can figure out the basis of the problem, you can kind of fix it a lot easier, and then you can actually like show up as your true authentic self wherever you are, right?
Exactly. I've tried to mention this, but like the first thing I thought of when I was going through my moments of like feeling like myself was worth nothing, I was like, shit, I gotta go back to therapy. That's the first thought I thought about. And me and Jana were messaging, so have you messaged your therapist? Like, how about you? Like, which one do you recommend? So there's no shame at all. Absolutely. Finding a therapist at all.
Yeah. And I think to the point about it being important to identify your insecurities is not just to get to know yourself better, but those are also the things that if you work on, you will develop a greater sense of self-confidence.
True. And I think also when you like share it and then you hear other people are like, oh, I go through that too, then it becomes like a small community or like a support group. And you also don't feel so like crazed in your own head that you're going through this thing. So thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. Got a little tear in there from Mel.
Oh, damn it.
It's hard. It's hard to talk about our insecurities, but I think as we've mentioned, these insecurities are created and sort of manifest in our own heads. It's okay to feel these insecurities. Like we said, don't sweep it under the rug, but know that you are more than enough and also that you are just not alone in these thoughts. Our suggestion here is, you know, to lean into your insecurities and create little goals for yourself and work on these goals because these goals do add up. So find your strengths and just make them stronger and just be you. I think the becoming part, that'll happen as you go on. It's part of being human. Self-doubt, you know, that exists even in the most confident looking people. Just know that you are full of possibilities and it's just that simple. In time, you can get over your insecurities too.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned leaning into your insecurities because today when this episode is released, Helen, Janet, and myself will be speaking actually, leading a workshop at the Women's Leadership Conference in Pasadena. And like we said, we're so nervous to be, you know, speaking in front of a bunch of women.
A thousand people.
Shit. But again, we're leaning into that and trying to build a stronger exterior so we could be better on stage and then when we speak. So if you guys like this episode, follow us on Instagram at Asian Boss Girl. We'll be probably sharing behind the scenes of this Women's Leadership Conference on our Instagram story. So we'll hope to see you guys there.
You can also find us on Spotify and iTunes, ABG/Asian Boss Girl. And we're also doing a new Dear ABG segment where if you guys call in and leave us a voicemail, we'll play them in one of the episodes this coming season. So you can reach us at 213-262-8776.
Thank you for joining us and we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye. Bye.